Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you were taught about him, you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through the deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let no bitterness or wrath or anger or clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Lots in there for us to dig into, so let's ask for God's help as we come to his word. Father, we are so thankful that you're a God who speaks. You haven't left us in the dark. You've given us your word. And so now as we dig into it, we pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that we would hear your word, but not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Father, have mercy on us, we pray. Speak and change us. For your glory and for our eternal good, we pray. Amen. We're going to start this morning a little bit embarrassing. I'm going to show you my favorite shirt as I was growing up. This is my favorite shirt, and I'm going to be careful not to show you this picture for too long. This is me at my 12th birthday. Not doing it yet. I'm wearing my favorite shirt. It's a size 10 AC/DC Who Made Who t-shirt. That was my favorite shirt. You could not get me out of it, and yes, I was a bogan at an early age. By far my absolute favourite shirt. I used to love it. I wore it every day. That, I'm blowing out candles, by the way. I'm not gaunt. Somehow at 12. I tried to sleep with that shirt, but my mum wouldn't let me. I actually tried to find one on eBay this week, but it didn't have time to ship, so sorry about that. I wanted to bring one in because Dan challenged me to come and preach in it. But you do not want that. You don't want to see the hairy midriff. A grown man, I'm putting that away, there you go. A grown man in a size 10 AC/DC t-shirt is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Grown men don't wear kids' clothes unless there's something seriously wrong with them. When I was a child, I dressed like a child. I talked like a child, I lived like a child, and then I grew up and took off the kid's size 10 AC/DC t-shirt and put on what every mature man wears, a nice new checkered shirt. Looking out there, a few checks, good job. Today, God is going to show us how to grow up as his children, no longer to be children, but adults in Christ. The dominant picture in this passage is what we wear. Not actual clothes, but what we clothe ourselves in as Christians, our behaviours, our attitudes. What do we put on? Last week we saw that big does not equal mature. Just because a church grows in number doesn't mean it grows in maturity. If you've been with us for a while, you know North Coast has grown in number over the years. But now it's very obvious that God wants to grow us in maturity. It's no coincidence that we're looking at these passages right now. God wants us as his church to grow up, to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, to mature adulthood. That's what we saw last week. This is what it says. God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The saints are all Christians, and ministry is serving, literally the same word, for the building up of the body of Christ until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to what? Mature manhood, to the measure of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be what? Children. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. God wants us as his church to grow up into the head, Jesus Christ. We are the body. He is the head. Now, Paul moves to tell us how. How does that actually happen? And here's the big idea. The way to grow up in Jesus is to put off the old you and put on the new you in him. Put off and put on. Let's have a look from verse 17. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of hearts. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to what? Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through the deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on what? The new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you see what the Apostle Paul's doing here? He is saying to the Christians in Ephesus and to us, this is who you were. No longer be like that. You must what? No longer walk as the Gentiles. Gentile here he's using to mean non-Christians. And so now we get the other picture. There's two dominant pictures in this passage. One is clothing and the other is walking. It's talking about how you live. You must no longer walk as they do. Don't live like them. Why? Because that's not who you are. Did you see what they are clothed in? How are they walking? They are darkened in their understanding. They can't see what life is all about. They are alienated from the life of God, literally cut off by their own doing because of their hardness of heart. They have a hard heart to God. They're far away. They've become callous. It's like those bits which, because I sit at an office job, I don't have much of. Calluses. They are callous to the ways of God. They've given themselves up to their own desires, greed and impurity. You see the words that are used here? Darkened, alienated, ignorant, hard-hearted, callous, self-centered. Those are not words that describe Christians, are they? That is not you and I if Jesus has rescued you. Verse 20 tells us clearly, that is not the way you learned Christ. If you are a Christian, Jesus has broken into your world of ignorance and brought you understanding. He has turned your alienation of God to reconciliation with God. He has turned your hard heart soft to Him, to His saving death, to His life-giving resurrection. He has made your callous soul feel His presence and power. That is the way you've learned Christ. Assuming something, though, isn't it? What's it assuming? Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. It's assuming something that Jesus has actually taken hold of you, has actually gripped you, that Jesus Christ and Him crucified has made a difference to the point at which He is your everything. Have you heard about Christ? Well, if you've been at North Coast, you've heard that He died for your sins. You've heard that He rose from the dead to give you life forever. Have you been taught about Him? He forgives sinners. He makes dead people live. But it's more than that, isn't it? Have you experienced that truth change you? If that's you, here's what we need to do. We need to grow up. We need to grow up in Jesus. God wants us to grow, and it's going to take hard work. If you've learned Christ, and if you've been taught of Him, and you've experienced His truth, then you know there's nothing you can bring. You can't earn salvation. You can't do anything. It's all been done on the cross. We know that. But for us to grow up takes lots of hard work. If we're going to grow as a church, it's going to take work, isn't it? Have a look, 21. That's not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you've heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Christ, to do something. I wake up and I put off something. My old self. That literally means the old person, the old human being. Jesus said it, didn't He? He said you've got to be born again. You need to be born anew. And Paul says it in Colossians, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And that is true of every Christian. We wake up as new people in Christ, don't we? Jesus has done it all. And what is God saying to us this morning? Live that. Live that out. God says, be that new you every day as I wake up. Matt, what are you going to do when you wake up tomorrow? Well, I'm going to take off my PJs and I'm going to put on clothes, probably a checkered shirt. You know it to be true. God is saying, take off your old clothes. That put off word is literally about garments. It's about clothing. Put off the old AC/DC shirt. It's too small, it smells, and it's stinky. And by the way, it doesn't fit you anymore, Matt. Do you know the very funny thing this morning? I wasn't going to say this, but I woke up and pulled out a t-shirt out of my drawer. Do you know what it was? AC/DC. Goodness. Put off the old you were clothed in. And did you see where this old human belongs? Where does he belong? Which belongs to the former manner of life. For some of us, we don't have a former manner of life. We just grew up Christian. Praise God. If you grew up Christian and you don't know a former manner of life, that's a massive blessing. I know plenty of people like that. That's not me, but I know plenty of people like that. Here's your former manner of life. If you didn't have such a privileged upbringing, that person you could have been, that person you would have been without that upbringing. For others of us, we know our former manner of life very well, don't we? Paul has outlined it, and I don't know about you, but it rings true. I was ignorant. I was darkened in my understanding. I had a hard heart to God. I was callous. I was greedy. Does that ring true of your old life? Verse 22 summarizes it really well. Corrupt. I was corrupt. Put off your former manner of life. Put it off. The way to grow up as a Christian is to put it off. That is a present continuous. And that means keep putting it off. It's not a one-time event here. This is I get up every single day and have to put that off. I wake up and for some reason a dirty, stinking AC/DC shirt is on me. And I've got to get that thing off. Because underneath is a new person in Christ to be put on. Put off every day, but don't stop there. Put on. Put on the nice new shirt. You're corrupt and deceitful through the deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, this word is put on the new human being. There's an old human being and there's a new human being. You are two yous. And you must put off the old man and put on the new man. And do you see how this works? Have a look at verse 23. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It starts here, doesn't it? When you become a Christian, God renews your mind. And it's a continual renewal of mind, your inner being, your thinking. And you know how that works. You understand, don't you? Because if you're hearing this right now, and you actually get it, that's the renewing of your mind right now. It's happening right now. Can you see there's an old you and there's a new you? Are you feeling a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit challenged? I know I am, to put off the old and put on the new. That is the renewal of your mind. Did you notice the new human being also is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness? Let's step back and think, what does that mean? Because that is huge. What that means is when you participate in the putting off and the putting on, the renewing of your mind, you are actually participating in what God is doing in all creation to recreate everything. You see, he takes us back to creation and forward to new creation. You are participating in nothing less than God's recreative work of all humanity. As we live this out, as you put on the new you, you are living out a new humanity after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Created, recreated. In chapter 2, Paul has already said he's making one new humanity. When Jesus dies, he's making one new humanity. And now we get into chapter 4 and he says, this is how it actually works out. This is putting flesh and bones on it. Can you see? It's taking on legs and arms and walking and growing and clothing. North Coast Church, we must grow up. It's time to grow up in the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness, that we might be who we're created to be. The way to grow up in Jesus is to put off the old you and put on the new you in him. Now, you probably know John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, which we sing quite a lot of. He also was a fantastic writer, and he wrote a whole bunch of letters, and we've got a book in the resource point called John Newton on the Christian Life. And in that, it collates a whole bunch of his stuff. And he has a great three-stage process for the growth of the Christian that I want to just briefly share with you because I think it's really important here. He uses two pictures to explain how the growth of the Christian works. He uses the human being going from a child to an adolescent to an adult. He also uses the idea of a corn stalk, the blade, the ear, and the full corn. I Couldn't find good pictures of corn, so I went with the human being. Here he is. No name. Child, adolescent, adult. So let's have a look at them. I want to quickly go through each of these stages because I think it's really helpful. Let's start with the child. When you become a Christian, doesn't matter who you are. If your conversion happens when you're 8 or you're 80, it doesn't matter if you're smart or you're not, you're a leader or a follower, wealthy, poor, every Christian starts here as an infant, a baby. Something has happened. God has broken into your world. And Newton says it like this. As spiritual infants, we do foolish things, like attempting to appease God and rest our security in religious and spiritual duties, like scripture reading and prayer. The self-righteous misunderstanding of salvation must be shown to be empty, and as we'll see, it's a lesson years of personal experience will teach. Because of the weakness of his faith, our infant Christian will struggle with spiritual insecurity. The child in Christ knows Jesus died for them, understands it, but has not grown to see how that changes their lives, how to put off the old, how to put on the new. Tim Keller says this, baby Christians are people who, though they intellectually believe Christ is their saviour, actually, psychologically, functionally, in everyday life, act as if something else is. Radically, they are insecure. They still don't really believe Jesus loves them enough. They still don't really believe they're totally forgiven. In a sense, they still are really trying to earn their forgiveness. And as long as you're in that state, you're a baby. You'll never get out of babyhood. And here's the cutting thing Tim Keller says. Most Christians stay babies all their lives. But we don't want to stay there, North Coast. We want to grow. So what about the adolescent? As we grow to see what Jesus has done for us, as we are taught in Christ, as we learn Christ, as we continue to have the truth of Christ go down deeply, richly in our hearts, we wake up and we start thinking, how am I going to live this new life in Jesus today? So we go to our Bibles, we go to prayer, we think about Jesus more, and the next day we completely forget about him. We just do whatever. That's an adolescent. There goes days and days, and Jesus is over here, kind of an afterthought. We completely forget him. On again, off again. Newton says, as little wobbly infant grows to knowledge of Christ, adults, marks of adulthood begin to show, and none more than a growing confidence in the saving power of Christ. As long as our confidence remains a confidence outside oneself and is unobstructed by emotional fluctuations, how our feelings go, and finds its root in the permanent and abiding sufficiency of Christ, the child grows deeper to produce personal assurance. You see, an adolescent starts thinking more and more about how I live a new life in Christ. Starts to have, what's our title of our series? Purpose. For God, not themselves. Becomes what my life is all about. But there's no long-term consistency. You look back, have a look back at your week. How was it? Was it like this? Or was it like this? The old self becomes less and less, and the new self becomes more and more. And then there's adult. Big guy. Not many muscles, but Newton calls this guy the spiritual man, or the mother, or the father. And he says this, they always live in absolute dependence on God, always mindful of their weakness and his strength. In a sense, they're much stronger because they have more of a feeling of constant sense of their own weakness. Their heart has deceived them so often that they now are in good measure weaned from trusting it and therefore do not meet with so many disappointments. And having found again and again the vanity of all other helps, all other worldliness, they are now taught to go to the Lord at once for grace to help in every time of need. Thus, they are strong not in themselves, but in the grace of Jesus Christ. The mature adult in Christ wakes up every morning fully conscious of their own sin, of their own weakness, and repents of it immediately. They go to the cross all the time. They put off their old self. They put on their new self every day. They go to His Word every day. They're constantly in prayer, and they live with Jesus ever present. And Newton says they can truly say, Jesus is my all in all. Now, I don't know about you, but when I see this, I think, I'm never going to get there. So Newton helpfully tells us this. Remember, the growth of a believer is not like a mushroom. You know, a mushroom just up overnight. It's more like an oak tree, which grows slowly indeed, but surely. Many suns and showers and frosts pass upon it before it becomes to perfection. In winter, when it seems dead, it is gathering strength at the root. Be humble, watchful, and diligent in the means, and endeavor to look through all and fix your eye on Jesus, and all shall be well. Have a look, Newton on the Christian life at the resource point. But here's the question for us. Which one are you? Which one am I? Because the difficult thing is, we can think we're way more mature in Christ than we actually are. Being mature as a person does not equate to mature as a Christian. And the reality is, most of us have way high understanding of our own maturity. I think I've grown way more than I actually have. So how do I know? Matt, tell me, what do I do? Well, I've found two things. One, look in the mirror of God's Word and see what you're supposed to be like. What's staring back at you in God's Word? And make a plan to prayerfully change, number one. And then ask a close friend, what do they see? That's the hard one. Look at what God says a mature Christian actually is, and then ask someone close to you, what do they actually see? That's the challenge. We're going to finish up doing the first. I'll let you do the second. Ask someone this week, what do you see in me? Let's finish up. What does a mature Christian look like? Because this is where Paul goes at the end of our passage in verses 25 to 32. He gives us five very practical things about mature Christians, and they're all about relationships. So we're going to whip through this and we'll be done. Have a look. Firstly, mature Christians don't lie, but rather tell the truth. Verse 25, therefore, having put away all falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Followers of Jesus, people who are made new in Christ, must put off falsehood. We should be known in our communities for integrity and honesty and reliability. We should be people whose word can be trusted. And the reason is not only that they're our neighbor, and Jesus says we should do what to them? Love our neighbor. But more than that, we are members of one another. Paul pulls that out again and says, we are a body. And here's the thing about it. Lies and falsehood are like a stab in the very vital organs of the body. Our fellowship must be built on trust, and trust is built on truth. Falsehood undermines fellowship, and trust strengthens it. Secondly, don't lose your temper, but rather make sure your anger is righteous. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity for the devil. Two types of anger in the Bible, righteous anger, unrighteous anger. In verse 31, anger is one of the things we're told to put off. That's anger that leads to sin. In chapter 5, God's anger is righteous towards disobedient, sinful humans. I was watching the news last week. A group of families were outside the courthouse and they were waiting for the sentencing of someone who had murdered one of their children. And they were rightly angry. That's righteous anger. But don't sin in your anger. It must be free from pride and spite and malice and revenge. And we don't let the sun go down on it. Not that at 6:55, the sun's about to go down. Quick, let's deal with the anger. No, it's don't nurse it. Don't let the embers burn. Don't dwell on it. Go and deal with it. Apologize. Reconcile. Thirdly, mature Christians don't steal, but rather work hard and give. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. It's the eighth commandment, don't steal, isn't it? Not many of us are doing that, but here's the positive thing. It's not enough for the thief not to steal, they must work hard. We must work hard to be able to share with others. We don't sponge off the community, take the benefits off of the government when we could go out and work hard and share. Fourthly, don't use your speech for evil, but rather for good. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we go against what the Spirit is trying to do in us. He's trying to make us holy. When we go against that, we grieve the Holy Spirit, and especially with our words. Words set us apart, don't they? Cows moo, dogs bark, pigs grunt, lions roar, humans speak. And we know we can build up with our words, we can tear down with our words. Words are very important. It's timely for us as a church, isn't it? There's been a lot of talk recently. Does this describe us? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, so that we may give grace to others. Do our words give grace? Are they building up or looking to tear down? We don't speak unkind words. We don't speak vulgar words. We're not dishonest with our words, cruel. We don't gossip. We don't talk about people behind their backs, twist their words and make it spin so it sounds better for you than for them. We are new people in Christ. We speak to build others up, not tear them down. And fifthly, don't be bitter or malicious, but rather kind and forgiving. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. There is no place in the Christian community for bitterness, for rage, for harshness, for malice. We don't slander each other. We don't speak against each other. We don't wish evil on each other. No, we are kind and compassionate. We forgive whatever wrongs are done to us because in Jesus, God has forgiven us. Just for your information, our previous lead pastor, Dwayne, and I have had issues. And then we've had coffee and we've forgiven each other. We must forgive one another completely and unconditionally. If you follow Jesus and you don't forgive your brother or sister, then you have massive issues. We must forgive one another. Look in the mirror of God's word. What are we supposed to be wearing? What is your life actually clothed in? Ask someone close to you, what do they see? If I came out today wearing a size 10 AC/DC t-shirt, you would laugh at me. Rightly so, that would be ridiculous. But we settle for Christian clothes of immaturity as if that's okay. We must grow up. And the way to do it is to wake up every day and go to Jesus. Put off the old you and put on the new. Let's pray. Father, none of us claim to do this perfectly. But Father, have mercy on us. We want to thank you so much that you have rescued us from sin and death through Jesus Christ and made us new people. And so therefore, help us as a church to grow up in Christ, to put off the old self and to put on the new. Please, Father, may we live this out and live as new creations. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.